That is the right side. I mean, think about it. I don't think I said this last week, but consider. Let me put a word up here. Righteous. What's the first five letters spell? Jesus Christ is righteous, the only righteous one. If you're saved, God gave you His righteousness. So to be right is right. To be left is wrong. So my dad was telling me, he went back and watched last week's lesson on YouTube. And he reminded me of something I completely forgot about. Going to baseball games often as a kid, we went to watch the Detroit Tigers play. It was probably the Rangers versus Tigers. We went to a lot of Texas Rangers games living in that Dallas area growing up. Detroit Tigers had a very good shortstop back in the 80s named Alan Trammell. And my dad, I don't remember this, but my dad said, I actually got Trammell to come over to me before a game and sign an autograph. So Alan Trammell, shortstop, throws right-handed, bats right-handed, gets a pen in his left hand, and signs his name on my program, whatever it was, baseball. And my dad remembered that and thought, that's odd. Throw right, bat right, right, left-handed. Anybody like that in here where you do different things? Yeah, okay, Don. Don is a lefty, but you're right, left-handed, but everything else is right-handed. I'm glad you're right most of the time. But it's too bad that you write left-handed. Right, right, follow me there. Anyway. Okay. Leftist. That's not a good word, is it? Go ahead, Pastor.
E-O-U-S.
Oh, left. Oh, E-O. Oh, okay. But that is not right. Oh, okay. Leftist. Nice little play on words there. I like that. So if you are a lefty, it's okay. God will save lefties. Right? Jesus Christ died for the right-hander and the left-hander. I don't think that's in the Bible, but the just and the unjust. We'll say that. He died for the unjust, being the just. I should make sure I clarify. But regardless, you just saw last week that the right hand was special. Jesus Christ today is seated at the right hand of God. And there's a bunch of things associated with the right hand. The right hand of power was significant. Even in royalty today, there's something about the right side of the king versus the left side. I didn't show you last week. There's a place where it is Solomon. Solomon's mother, you remember her name? Bathsheba. There's a place there where he actually sits her at his right hand. Interesting. And if you've ever studied false religion, too bad Zane's not here, he would get a kick out of this. You ever study false religions? Mother-son relationships in false religions are quite a mess. I'll let you dig into that on your own, but you know Solomon is a type of Christ. Right? Guess who Solomon is also a type of? The Antichrist. There's a place where he has 666, it's associated with gold, I can't remember, it says pieces of gold. Say talents, okay. So there's some connections with Solomon with the Antichrist, and he's the anti-type. He's a type of Christ, also a type of Antichrist. Anyway, it's kind of interesting how he does that. We'll save that for another time. But today, I want to cover something different. I'm not going to write it up here just yet. But go to Psalm 75. Look at verse 6. Interesting wording here in your Bible. Verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from... Okay, let's write these down. We've got three of our cardinal directions. East, west, south. What are we missing? Look at the next verse. But, what's that next word? But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I don't think that's coincidental that the direction left out is north. And rather than your Bible putting north next, what does it put next? East, west, south, God. Indicating there's a significance with God being where? Up north. I'm going to use the globe later on at the end of the message, but we live on this thing right here. Notice it's round, not flat. Just thought I'd point that out. And I'll show you something really neat about that at the end of the message. So anybody down here on earth who makes their way north, they're going off the globe and towards who? Towards God. Okay, so I can't tell you a whole lot about the layout of the universe. I know that God is in the north. There's something significant about that because north is up. Okay, so good place to start there. East, west, south, but God, there's the north. And I'm not doing north or south today. I just wanted to do that as an introduction to east versus west. So in your Bible, there's something significant about these two directions, east and west. Have you ever heard this little quote? Go west, young man. I believe Horace Greeley said that. Good or bad? Is west good or bad? In the Bible, is going west good or bad? I got a good, I got a bad. Let's find out, all right? Go to Genesis 11. I believe we'll be able to make our way in order through most of this, starting in Genesis. Genesis 11. Okay, now, I've got to preface this by saying, I'm going to show you biblically the correct way to travel. That does not mean geographically, if you don't go in that direction, that you're wrong. So understand, this is a biblical concept that has application that I will show you, but not necessarily a personal application with you geographically. I'll tell more about that in a minute. I just want to preface. Genesis 11, though, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from where? Okay, if they're journeying from the east, what direction are they going? They're going from the east. They're going which way? All right, and it says, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and tower, whose top may reach where? Okay, we have some directions here. What direction are they trying to go? They're trying to go up. And let me just read a couple more verses here and you'll see. It says, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And if you're with us for dispensations, we studied this, and God's plan was for them to be scattered. They decided to unite. And here in this instance, it says they're journeying from the east, and it appears to be that east to west in this case, would you say good or bad? I would say it's probably not good. I start here on purpose to show you that this does not match 100% of the time, but it actually does match most of the time. Here, east to west is not a good thing because what are these people doing? They're rebelling against God, right? So I think it's a good place for me to stop and say, a lot of times in the scriptures, you can find something that lines up 90% or maybe even more of the time, and then you'll find some things that it doesn't always line up with. So that's why I start here to show you that I'm giving you a concept that is foolproof most of the time, but not every single time does it match. Okay, so go to Genesis 12, and you'll see this is the start of east to west being good. East to west is actually good in this instance. Look at verse 1, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now watch the places here in verse 4, or the place. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of where? Okay, so Haran. If you go to Genesis 11, you find that Abram dwelt in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. So either place, Haran or Ur, to Canaan. The direction, if you have maps in your Bible, you can look at this. The direction is east to west. Was God's plan for Abram to go east to west? Yes, it was. Haran and Ur are east of Canaan, so he goes east to west to the place where God wants him. You remember our dispensation study, what happened when Abram left this place? Not good. He left because of a famine. Where did the Israelites end up going at the end of Genesis? They leave Canaan to go where, of all places? Egypt. So understand, in this instance, this is the first of several where you will see east to west is actually positive. It's actually the right direction, the correct direction. Okay, so go to another one here. Go over to Genesis 13, and you'll see a contrast with this one. East to west with Abram was good. Watch what happens here. Genesis 13, 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Okay, so remember, Abram gives Lot a choice here. So Lot will decide. Look what he does here, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his what? Making a decision based on sight alone is usually not a good decision. Would you agree? It takes investigation further, inwardly, to find out what's really going on. The outward appearance does not always tell you all the story. But he goes with the lust of his eyes here. Look what it says. He lifted up his eyes and dwelt, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed where? He journeyed east. Okay, so Lot goes west to east. When he journeys west to east, what place does he settle? Give me the city. Good or bad? He'd been better off staying with Abram. Here, Lot goes west to east, and it turns out almost destroying him, correct? In fact, he's told to flee before the Lord destroys that place right there. So here, west to east, negative. So you're going to see the trend here, west to east, bad, most of the time. East to west, good, most of the time. Again, these don't fit every single instance, but you'll see more times than not. East to west, good. West to east, bad. Now, if you're not good with geography, you're going to have quite a time here. So, hopefully you'll stay with me as best you can if you're not a person with geography here. Now, let's go over to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Going west is good in your Bible most of the time. Going east is not good in your Bible most of the time. Numbers chapter 3. Now, what's interesting, if you trace the journey of the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land, here's how they go. So they're here in Egypt. They have to go down and around, and then they end up here, and they need to go a little bit further to the west. But there's a certain place they have to cross to do that. What's it called? The Jordan River. So, in order to cross into the Promised Land, again, they take this roundabout path here. To cross over into the Promised Land, they got to cross the Jordan and go from east to west. So, to go to the Promised Land required east to west travel, and that's where God wanted them, right? And that was a miraculous thing to pass from the east to the west across the Jordan River. That was good. But, if you know a little bit about the 12 tribes, There's the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Miss Katie, she's shaking her head. What did those 2.5 tribes say? We're staying on the east side of Jordan instead of going over and living on the west side of Jordan. So look at Numbers 3:38, just to point this out to you. 3:38, it says, "But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses." Okay, you know what? Let me stop here. I kind of jumped ahead of myself. I didn't put the passage here for these three tribes here, so I'll just write it up here for you. How about that? This is a different passage I want to go to here. Can I erase Miss Gloria?
Yeah.
Too late if not. Reuben, Gad, half tribe of Manasseh. I'll just draw you a little picture here. How about this? Here's the Jordan. And here's Reuben, Gad, and one half of Manasseh on that side. Here are the other 9.5 tribes. Here's the promised land. That's where God wanted them. So they decide to stay on this side instead of crossing over and staying on that side. Y'all with me? Okay, so there's one picture. Let me draw you another picture here before I read that passage in Numbers. Ooh, anybody know what I just drew? Get this layout here. This is really neat. And let me just put the directions up there. I drew it like that on purpose. You can do a bunch of cross-references here. I'm just giving you the one verse. Look at 3:38 again. This is what I wanted to go with the tabernacle. Those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So I point that out because it says before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward. So you had Moses and Aaron and the priest. They lived on this side of the tabernacle. They lived just on this side so that they could actually live close by and make their entrance into the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle symbolic of in your Old Testament? That is the place where an Israelite would commune with the Lord. That was the place where the Israelite had to bring his animal sacrifice so that the priest could offer it on his behalf so that his sins could be forgiven, at least temporarily. So, we've got this thing. If y'all remember when we studied this before, you've got this first thing you come in here and see is you've got this brazen laver. Then you've got this altar. Then you've got the holy place and then the most holy place. My whole point in showing you this is the passageway for the high priest, because he's the only one that could go all the way in here. If he made his way in, he would go what direction? East to west. That's what I'm trying to show you. East to west in your Bible is good most of the time. Okay, let me show you another one here. Go over to Numbers. Oh, this is what I was going to show you here. Numbers 34. I thought I had this in here. I just had it out of order here, but in biblical order. Numbers 34. Numbers 34, verse 5. And this will be a little lead into something else. Numbers 34. Okay, that's not the right one. Let me see here. 34. Yeah, 34, 14. 34, 14. Ah, here we go. 34, 14. It says, "For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance." Look what it says in the next verse. "The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho." What direction? Okay, so they're on this side, eastward. Look at the last three words of verse 15. What's it say? What's it say? Toward the what? Okay, this is where we're going to move into something completely different, but still associated with east and west. It says that they dwelt eastward here. There's the west, here's the east. Eastward toward the what? The sun rising. Now, I have a really neat trip to work every day. I head north, the right direction, on US 1. And then I head east, the wrong direction. But it's pretty neat whenever I head east. I go over the bridge to get to Merritt Island. And the last few days this week, at around 7:15, 7:30 in the morning, I am blinded as I look to the east because of what? That sun is not just barely coming up on the horizon. It's up there and blinding me. In fact, I've had the sunglasses didn't do justice this week. It's really hard to see, so I had to slow down. In fact, I got to the top of the bridge one day, and everybody was going about 15 miles an hour because the sun was just right there, and you couldn't see very far ahead of you. So I tell you that because every day of your life and my life, and every day since God made the sun on the fourth day, the sun has come up where? In the east. Where does the sun set? In the west. Notice verse 15. Eastward toward the sun rising. God set it up for the sun to travel east to west. Turn over to Psalm 19. God did that on purpose. Now, you've been in this church a while. You know that God uses the physical or the visible to teach us about the spiritual. So go to Psalm 19. You got to watch the wording here. You'll get something really, really neat here as you watch the wording. Psalm 19. Look down there at verse 4. Actually, I'm going to have to back up here. Let's back up to verse 1 so we can make sure we get exactly what's going on here, context. Psalm 19, 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day utter a speech, and night into night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Talking about the heavens. The heavens, if you just look up, the heavens are screaming at you and me every day. You know that? You know what they're screaming? There is a God! God created everything you see. God is to be glorified. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. You should be in awe of the Lord when you just look up at the sky and you see the sun, you see the moon. Y'all been able to observe Venus here lately? The only reason I know this, I have one of those cool apps on my phone where I can point it and it shows me all the things in the sky. Venus has been really, really bright, particularly in the month of March. Now that we're in April, you probably won't see it quite as clear, but extremely visible in the sky. So, you look at the heavens, you should be in awe of the Creator, the Lord God Almighty. The heavens speak according to what we just read. Now look at verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth. And their what? Words to the end of the world. Talking about the heavens. Now watch the end of verse 4. In them, the heavens, in them hath he set a what? A tabernacle for the sun. Watch the connection between the path of the sun and the tabernacle. It says there, verse 5, the sun, which is as a what? Okay, don't miss this. The sun as a bridegroom. Isn't that interesting? Why would the Lord compare the S-U-N to a bridegroom, a male? We'll keep going here. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a what? The sun is not just a bridegroom, or compared to a bridegroom, but compared to a strong man which runneth a race. Now watch verse 6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. So that sun has a circuit. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Okay, so I show you all that to indicate the sun, we found out from Numbers, rises in the east. And we know that the sun sets in the west. We also know that the sun is compared to a bridegroom or a strong man. Now go to Malachi chapter 4. I know somebody has seen this before, but sure is neat to look at this again. Look at Malachi 4. Why would the Lord compare the sun up there in the sky to a bridegroom and a strong man? Well, some of you know where this is going. Look at verse 2. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the... Y'all got a capital S on that word? I think that is very, very interesting. Son of what? Righteousness. The Son of righteousness. Now hold on, when I think of righteousness, I think of the S-O-N. How about you? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Why does it say, is that a mistake that it capitalized the word Son but made it S-U-N? Is that a mistake? Okay, let me ask that again. Is that a mistake? We don't correct the Bible here. We believe the Bible. So I'm not going to say, oh, there's a mistake there. That's what God intended. Now let's keep going and find out why that is the case. It says, shall the Son of righteousness, what's the Son of righteousness do? Arise. Every morning, the sun, S-U-N, rises. What are we celebrating in 1 week? The risen Son of God, the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me keep going and I'll just put all this together in case you don't have it. It says, the Son of righteousness arise with healing in His wings. Healing in His wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of stall. All that to show you that God put the S-U-N up there in the sky so that we would look at it and be reminded of the S-O-N. The S-U-N rises in the east and sets in the west. Now check this out. Go over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This one will be a little out of order. We're going to go to Matthew 24 and then we'll back up to Matthew 1 or Matthew 2. But go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Most of the time, east to west is good. West to east is not good most of the time. Let's take a look at this one. Matthew 24, 27. You've got to go down a few verses here. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the what? East, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of who? Isn't that interesting? That's a second advent, second coming verse. Sure does appear to be a connection with the return of Jesus Christ having something to do with an east to west movement that just happens to coincide with the S-U-N. Rise in the east, set in the west. By the way, I know you've heard this before, but just a good reminder. God put a picture of the gospel in the sky every day of your life. Every day. Tonight, the sun will go down, right? Sometimes it's red when it goes down. Reminder of, Christ died for our sins. He shed His blood. What happens when the sun's all the way down? We have darkness, correct? What happened to Christ after He was crucified and died on the cross? They buried Him. They put Him in a dark tomb, because tombs are dark. And then what happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead. What is the sun? What does the sun do every morning? Of all things to call the movement of the sun every morning, it rises. God put a picture of the gospel in the sky every day of your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And what a great illustration to show people that are fascinated with science and the universe and the study of the heavens. Say, hey, do you realize that the Creator reminded you every day of the price Jesus Christ paid for your sins, that he was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again. So this week, as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, every day that you're awake to see the sun come up, you ought to be reminded, Christ is risen. He's alive. Amen. So there's something about this east to west movement. Now let's back up to Matthew chapter 2. Now this is where it gets really cool. I had this, when I was studying this, I had a struggle at first. I'm like, uh-oh, this kind of threw me off. But then, just like most of the time, if you read a couple verses and you're stumped, don't quit and don't try to explain things away. You know what the best option is to do? Keep reading. Yes, Drew. And this is one of those instances. It's so neat. Look at Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from where? Okay, so to get to Jerusalem, they traveled east to west. I'll just put that up here. To Jerusalem. Now, if I had to guess, these are wise men from the east. If I had to guess and nail down where these guys came from, my guess would be somewhere over there near Babylon. And the reason why I would say that is because there was a particular Jewish man who got a lot of prophecy that he wrote down while he was in Babylon. And there's a good chance that some of those Gentiles over there in Babylon got a hold of those writings and believed that they are true and sought the Lord through those writings. And who am I talking about? Who's that Jewish man I'm talking about? Daniel. Put that along with the book of Numbers. You want to really get a kick out of the star that these wise men saw. I'll read about it in verse 2. Numbers 24, verse 17. Knock your socks off. Really neat. And it's a prophecy from a weird guy in your Bible, a guy named Balaam. He's not a good guy, but he actually did say some true things. He actually gives you a bunch of prophecy about the future. So really neat. God can use anybody to give out the truth, can he? Sure can. Look at verse 1. It says, from the east to Jerusalem. Okay, verse 2. Look what happens here. It says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now watch, this is where it threw me off. For we have seen his star where? In the east. So the star was in the east and are come to worship him. So I got thinking about this. I'm like, hold on a second. The star is in the east. It makes sense that they would journey towards the star. That would not make them going west. It would make them going east. But keep reading, and I'll give you the best explanation for this. Well, the Bible will clear it up for you, and I'll see what you think about it. Look at verse 9. You know that Herod sends them away. Actually, let me read verse 7. It says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. Now watch, this is where it clears things up. The star, which they saw where? In the east. Where did it go? Before them. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Who's that young child? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So here's what I put together with this. When they were in the east before they journeyed toward Jerusalem, that star was right there above them. When they make their way to Jerusalem, they tell Herod, we saw his star where? Where we came from in the east. But folks, where's that star move to? It moves right over where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. That star, not just the wise men, that star sure does look to me like that star was doing what, Miss Katie? That thing was traveling. That star was moving. And it just happened to be moving east to west, the right direction. Isn't that cool? East to west, all right? So, and again, this is no ordinary star. Now, you want a further study on this? In your Bible, there's a really neat connection between stars. This is Revelation 1. Stars and anybody? Angels, yes. So that's a whole other thing to get into, but that's really neat. And there may be some kind of connection with this particular star and an angel, because you know angels are obviously involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. So that's a whole other thing. Now, let's go over to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now, I'm skipping a lot here. Go to Acts 1. I wanted to end up here with some really neat. So go to Acts chapter 1. And you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How many days was he on earth before he ascended into heaven, folks? 40 days. This is on day 40. This is the last day he was here on earth before he ascended. If you look at verse 6, Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They knew a lot of prophecy that that was going to happen. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both where? Starting in Jerusalem. So help me out, Drew. It says there, Jerusalem. Then what does it say? Keep going. Keep going. All right. You know what Jesus Christ's plan was back there in Acts chapter 1? It was for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go where? All around the world. Acts chapter 2, the preaching, the first time the death, burial, and resurrection is preached. You know, Jesus Christ mentioned it even before it happened that he would die and rise again. But it's not preached by somebody besides him until Peter does it in Acts chapter 2. Guess where he preaches from? Jerusalem. Okay, this is where it gets really cool. Go to Romans chapter 1, by the way. Flip over to Romans chapter 1. While I'm doing this, I got to find my bearings here on my globe. Make sure I get this just right. Okay. So before I do this, let me show you something. The scientists tell us that the Earth spins on its axis, right? This is so cool. You want to guess what direction the scientists tell us the Earth spins on its axis? Remember, the sun goes east to west. So the scientists tell us that the Earth spins west to east. Just like the Earth to spin. Let me get this just right. Yeah, there we go. Just like the Earth to spin opposite the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the world to go opposite that which the Lord does. Isn't that something? Now, I don't know if they're right or not. I have my... You probably think I'm crazy to say this. I have my doubts if we're spinning or not. I don't. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. I have my doubts about the earth moving around the sun, because in Psalm 19, it sure did sound like the sun was moving. You mean all those years in school they told you the wrong thing? It wouldn't be the first time they were wrong. Yes, sir. No. I'm not suggesting flat earth. I am suggesting... I'm glad you brought that up. I believe this is accurate. What I am suggesting is potentially geocentricity is correct rather than heliocentricity. Let me make sure I get this right. Yes. You've been taught all these years that the sun is the center of the universe and the earth goes around the sun, right? I know from Psalm 19 and from Malachi 4, it sure does sound like the sun is the thing that's moving. Now, maybe, this is far above my pay grade, maybe there's motion of the sun and motion of the earth, so I wouldn't discount that. I don't know. But I do know this. The only way to know for certain what's really moving, the sun or the earth, both or neither, or one of the two, the only way to know for certain would be outside the entire solar system looking in. When you're in the system, you can't say for certain what's moving. If I was looking from the outside in and I could see everything in motion, it'd be a very clear picture. And there's only one person that is, and who's that? That's the Creator, who made it, the Lord. And He sure does seem to indicate that the sun has a motion. I don't find places that match up with the earth having a motion. So again, half of you might just think I'm nuts when I say this, but it sure does seem like geocentricity is a more biblical concept than helio. You say, what does that mean? It sure does seem like the earth is in the center and the sun moves around it. Now, again, that's what I get from my Bible. Now, is this a salvation issue? Is this a major doctrinal issue? No, it's not. So, if you want to disagree with me, I'd love to show you a number of verses that sure does indicate the sun has a movement and not so much the earth. Now, I'm not saying the earth could be spinning. It very well could be. And if it is spinning, and the scientists are right, it does spin opposite the world, opposite the sun, which is just like the world when it comes to the Lord. So, that's interesting. Now, let's move on here. I'm going to put my finger on the globe right where Jerusalem is, and I wish this was bigger, I could show you. It's hard to find on the map because it's so small. So, okay, all right. Now, where are you in Romans chapter 1? It says down there in verse 7, Paul's writing, to all that be where? Rome. Okay, let's go through the books that Paul wrote. He wrote to the Romans in Rome. What's after Romans? First and second. Okay. Corinth. That's Greece. Rome is Italy. Corinth, Greece. Let's keep going. Corinthians, Galatia, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica. I left one out. Galatia, Philippi, thank you, yeah. Seven churches he wrote to. And if I've got my finger right about where Israel is, guess where I have to go in order to get to all seven of those churches? I got to go west. Actually, it's more to the northwest, not just straight west. But I go to the west. Now, if I keep going west, I'm going to put my finger, again, actually it's a little further to the northwest. I have my finger on the UK. I'm moving further west from Rome, a little bit to the north. What happened in the UK, in the year 1600, that's pretty important to me and you today? Your King James Bible was translated, yes. And if you take a look at the missionary movements and the revival movements, I'm just prefaced by saying this. It goes from east to west. So, revival sure does seem to go. The gospel seems to travel east to west. Now, let me wrap up with something really neat here. This will get you excited. We go from Great Britain, the UK. Let me find my bearings here. And I'm not discounting all these other nations I'm skipping over here. You've got Africa to the south, by the way. In Acts chapter 8, there's a fellow from Africa who gets saved. Remember who that was? Ethiopian eunuch. And then you look at Candace in your Bible from Ethiopia. There was movements of revival even down here. So it's all over the earth. But that gospel goes from Great Britain all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. The pilgrims made their way. What direction? West. They settled along the east coast of what we now call the United States. And then it kept going. Where did it eventually go? I know they went for gold, but guess what happened in the process of going for gold? Bibles, the gospel of Christ, made its way further to the west. Oh, and it didn't stop there. All the way across the Pacific Ocean, Japan, China, Afghanistan, Iraq in recent years. Oh, you talk to some people over there behind the scenes. There's been a mighty movement of God in places like China, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq. You say, isn't God getting it done in America? We kicked him out of schools. He's kicked out of most churches. God sure does seem to be doing a whole lot over there in the Far East. Okay, and if you keep going east to west, you want to just guess, and I'm just going to kind of take this path all the way around if I keep going. Guess where the gospel is getting close to being back again? Not quite there yet. But if you're in Iraq, you're pretty close, aren't you? If you're in Afghanistan, you're pretty close. Now, this will get you excited here. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the Great Tribulation, which comes after the church age. During the church age, the gospel of Jesus Christ has made its way all the way around the globe until it ends up where? Back in Israel. Because where does God's attention go in the Great Tribulation? It's not Washington, D.C. It definitely isn't New York City or Los Angeles. It's Jerusalem. It's the nation of Israel, because God's attention goes back to the Jew during the tribulation. It sure does sound to me like Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses in Revelation 11, sounds like coming back. They're preaching in, of all places, the streets of Jerusalem. Isn't that going to be something? What I'm telling you is the gospel goes east to west all the way around the world, and it sure does look like we're close to it going completely around the globe. Isn't that something? Isn't that neat? So, if you decide to move to the east, well, that wouldn't be a good move because you're going to be in the Atlantic Ocean, right? From where we are. But understand, if the Lord was to move you to Miami, south, or to Tampa, west, I'm not telling you you're going the wrong way because, or the right way, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about a physical geographic thing. I'm just showing you in your Bible the movement of the gospel. Sure does seem to indicate east to west. That's the biblical movement. And I think there's something to be said when you think about movements of revival in the gospel. Folks, it's about to make its way full circle. And how exciting is that? Isn't that neat? Now, questions, comments, what's brewing out here? I got out of time here, but anybody brewing with questions or comments? Not that I have an answer, but I'll try. Pretty neat, huh? So we did left and right. We did north and south, or up and down, and then there's east and west, and there's probably a whole lot more on that. I'm going to leave that up to you to take a look at all that stuff. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for how we see the movements over the last 2,000 years of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sure is exciting to think that we are living in the last days, very close to the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds for us. I pray that we would not just say, oh, that's neat, or that's really something that I should look into, but this would be something that changes us, knowing that our time here on this earth could be short. And may we truly look to the skies, and may we truly be about busy for you, telling others about Jesus Christ in the little time we have left. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.